Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From KMOX Sports.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball.
This could be trouble. It's at the wall.
And it's a gunner!
Welcome to Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Oh, yeah!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Sports overload. Sports overload alert. We have a lot going on. Holy cow. It's crazy, isn't it? Cardinals, what in the world? They get no hit, and then suddenly they put five on the board in the seventh and win the game. Mike Schilt, the Cardinals manager, will be with us in 9 minutes to talk about it. BK, what are the Blues going to do with Alex Pietrangelo?
Boy, that's a good question. You know, you read about it, and you wonder, is this not going to end well? And I don't know. I hope that, you know, the interesting thing about this is because of the coronavirus and the flat cap, a lot of teams aren't going to have the room that they might have otherwise, but there are some out there that do have the room. And so we'll see when he hits the market what he finds out, and hopefully he won't hear anything that blows him away, and then Petro can come back.
The reporters from TSN, which for those who are not familiar is like ESPN in Canada, mm-hmm. they are the big network in Canada, they reported that those talks have basically reached nothing. Yep. So they're on their way now to encouraging him to explore free agency. No comment from Doug Armstrong, the Blues general manager. I would assume that probably tomorrow, I wouldn't say today, but I would anticipate at some point you'll get another conference call from him to give a statement of where they are. He's pretty good about that. But right now, that's the situation. Their captain is probably going to enter free agency, and we'll see what happens from there. He's a big influence on that room. I mean,
he's one of those guys too that you will really notice when he's gone. It's kind of like when we lost Bouwmeester, and in the playoffs you could really see the missing piece there, especially in the penalty kill. And I mean, obviously we know that Pietrangelo is an outstanding player, but some of those guys you don't really know how outstanding until they're gone. And that's what I'm afraid we're going to find out.
I think Pietrangelo is a top 10 defenseman in this league.
No question.
And maybe, depending on who you talk to, a top five. Yeah. I mean, he was not a Norris Trophy finalist. I think I thought he should have been.
Should have been.
But you could make the case top five defenseman in the league.
Yeah.
So he's going to get paid one way or the other. And I would not blame anybody for throwing him a huge sum of money, and the Blues will miss out on a big name. Now, regardless, he goes down as one of the greats in history, started with the team. With Blues history, finished the job. I mean, he won the Stanley Cup, and, you know, my hope was, and this never works out, I shouldn't say never, but it rarely works out in sports, is that he finishes his career as a Blue. You put a statue of him outside Enterprise Center holding up the cup.
Yes.
You know, he goes down as one of the legends.
Yeah.
Is that still the case? Yeah. I mean, I think he is one of the greats. No doubt about it, but you just, that's tough. The business is hard. It's hard for me to just go on the air and say they're disrespecting Alex Pietrangelo, because you need to know the whole story first and need to understand the business of it. And I'm sure we'll get the other side. But, all I'm saying is I look at the roster right now. They don't have a top five defenseman or a top 10 defenseman on this team. Colton Parayko is a good defenseman. Is he top 10? No. Is he top 20, 25?
I would say yes. I'm a big Colton Parayko
fan. I am too. Now, he's really, really good.
Yeah.
I think eventually he could be a captain.
Yeah.
I think if I were to pick a C right now and it's not Petrangelo, it's Ryan O'Reilly.
Exactly.
But Colton Parayko has all the makings of a captain. He has everything you could possibly want in a player. Not a physical player.
Right.
But he has a unique set of skills. He can race up the ice with the puck like a forward, and he's awfully dangerous. And when he's engaged, he is awfully good. Did not have a good series against Vancouver whatsoever, but a lot of players didn't. So.
Yeah. And he has the reach that allows him not, you know, to get by without being as physical. He can reach around a guy instead of running him over. We'd all love to see him run people over, but he does have other abilities that make up for some of that. And let's remember, too, Petrangelo, he went down to juniors a couple of years. They developed him slowly, whereas Parayko came on the scene, and he's been in the NHL pretty much from the beginning. And so as you look at their development timeline, you have to keep that in mind, as Parayko will mature into an even better defenseman, because it takes a while, especially for big defensemen, to become what they can become. Like Chris Pronger, his first couple of years was awful. Or not very good. I shouldn't say awful, but not very good. It took him a while to grow into his body and into the job. And I think Parayko is ahead of the curve on that and will be that top five type, top 10 defenseman very soon.
What are we talking about money wise here? It's reported that Petrangelo is believed to be looking for about $8 million a year. The top defensemen in the league make about $9 million, somewhere in that range. So, I mean,
they're probably hoping for a little hometown discount. Mm-hmm. And again, with the COVID situation, the budgets are tight.
And what's he making now? 6.5 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then, you know, you got to structure it. A part of what he said to Jeremy Rutherford at The Athletic was, you know, the structure is part of it as well. There are other things besides just the money. And Doug Armstrong's just been pretty good at figuring out those structures that make these deals work. So we'll see. You know, he can go out and test the waters, and hopefully nobody blows him away, and he can come back and say, okay, here's what I can live with, and the Blues can work it out.
I heard you talking about Larry Wilson earlier. Mm-hmm. I'm not old enough to have seen him play, but of course I go back to the early 80s. That's as far back as I can go. So the late stages of Jim Hart and Roger Worley, and of course knew all about Larry Wilson, who I always considered, until Kurt Warner and Marshall Faulk came on the scene, and Holt and Bruce and Pace, that if you were to make a Mount Rushmore of St. Louis sports, Larry Wilson would be on it. Might still be the case. I mean, he was one of the great safeties of all time. And on top of that, a wonderful, wonderful man. I saw our friend who goes by Retro Simba on Twitter said that Larry Wilson, one time, fans raised $80,000 to build a statue of him outside Busch Stadium and upon his enshrinement into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And he said, give that $80,000 to Children's Hospital.
Yeah, and I read that as well. And so he was one of my first sports heroes. He, along with Lou Brock, probably, and Bob Gibson was right in there. And I remember watching him play a little bit. I was at his last game and saw him carried off the field on his teammate's shoulders. And yeah, I mean, just look at the impact he had on the game with the safety blitz. It changed the game, the way you play defense, the way you attack a quarterback, and the way you attack an offense in a great way. And also, of course, the legendary interception with two broken hands. I mean, you don't hear about that very often.
Against the Steelers.
Yeah, he was not a big man, but boy, he was tough. He could hit. And so, you know, and then he stayed with the Cardinals for, what, 43 years, I think he was. He was general manager with them for a while.
Right.
And just one of the great St. Louis sports legends, and we miss him.
No doubt about it. You did a fine job posting a story on KMOX.com. I thought Dan Caesar wrote a nice piece in the Post-Dispatch about Larry Wilson, one of the greats, has passed away. And we've talked all this week also about Greg Marasek. I know you spoke to Ron Jacober. Yeah. I think I want to run that back in the 11 o'clock hour after we talked to Dan Reardon. I want to hear what Ron Jacober had to say about Larry Wilson and about Greg Marasek. Both of them have passed away this week.
Yeah, and Ron, of course, very close to Greg and knew Larry as well. So he was great. So I'd be honored if you do that.
I think we will do that. Let's do that at 11:20, James. We'll talk at 11:05 to Dan Reardon about the U.S. Open. 10:15, about a minute or so away from Cardinals manager Mike Schilt. John Mozeliak's on the show at 11:30. 11:45 is first of many appearances. He's going to make weekly appearances at 11:45 on the show. Eli Drinkwitz, the head coach of Missouri. What a career he's having in Mizzou. He hasn't even coached a game yet. Alabama.
Baptism by fire, too. Huh?
Alabama on Saturday night. But he's, man, he's gotten after it. Recruiting and great quotes. And
I'm pumped. I'm pumped.
I like him. We'll see what kind of offense he runs. Should get interesting. That's coming up. Sports on a Sunday morning. Thank you, Brian Kelly.
You bet.
Back after this.
The following is a special presentation of Sports on a Sunday morning. Welcome to the Mike Schilt Show on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Tom Ackerman back with you, and we are joined by the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, Mike Schilt's team, with a just crazy win last night. And Mike, great to have you on the show. It's just kind of been that season, a short season, a season of ups and downs. That's baseball for you. What a week you've had. How are you?
Yeah, it's a little different than just baseball, but yeah, it's been a great week. The guys are, our gladiators are competing their tails off and scratching and clawing and doing everything they possibly can. A lot of respect, and got it done last night.
You are a tough team, I'll tell you that. And having been through a lot, no doubt about it, off the field and on the field, this team has made it to the point where they are alone in second place with a lot of work still to do, a 3:05 game today against the Pirates, and as always, we appreciate the time. Let's work backwards a little bit, if you don't mind. I mean, yesterday, this team is down. They're down 4-0. They have not recorded a hit. And what goes on in the dugout during a time when you know the offense just needs a spark, when you know that, you know, you got to keep playing? What's the chatter like in there? What take us into that situation? It's not ever easy.
Yeah, I don't want to make any bigger than where the guys really just stay present. I mean, the guys are, they may be different looking at it, but or watching it, and I can appreciate that. But the guys just trying to take good at bats, you know, and just stay present, and no one's. If you get too big about it, like, oh, my gosh, you know, no, you just play. And the guy did stuff. And everybody goes, man, this guy's got good stuff today. And, you know, the guys are talking about, hey, how's my next at bat going to be bigger? And what are we going to do? And how are we going to figure out a way to get, you know, get something going? So everybody was just not in this big outside themselves mindset. It was more about just, hey, what's he doing? How's he doing it? Recognizing the guy's got good stuff. He's hitting both sides plate with a good fastball. He's got a really good late sharp slider that he's commanding and repeating, and just like, hey man, just keep battling. And then when, you know, he left, it was the same mentality. It's a different guy, and you know that mentality doesn't guarantee you to work, but it gives you every best chance. And it's really a tough mindset, and that's why, you know, people may not really understand what it looks like, but you can't come back and do that without that kind of collective mindset that every individual has.
That's such a great point. I mean, it's baseball. You're baseball players, you're baseball coaches and managers. You are playing a game and you're chattering about the game and you're observing what's going on out there. You can't make it bigger than it is. And there's a lot going on, reading what's happening out there and discussing it amongst yourselves. And you mentioned, I mean, Keller was really, really good. And the Pirates make the change. They replace Mitch Keller and they bring in Jeff Hartlieb, and Brad Miller leads off with a walk. Now they come out to meet on the mound, and here comes Paul DeJong, and he walks. So Yadier Molina gets hit by a pitch, and I'll come back to Yadi in just a bit, but mm-hmm. The bases are loaded. Hartlieb comes out, Sam Howard comes in, and Tyler O'Neill is the batter.
And the 1-0 pitch, here it comes, swing and a hard hit to the left field, and it's fair down the left field line. The Cardinals will score 2 on the double by Tyler O'Neill, and they're back in this game. 4-2 Pittsburgh.
That's how fast it can happen, and that was such a big hit for so many reasons. But for Tyler mm-hmm. O'Neill, Mike, that's a sharp line drive that he turned on, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, it's a big hit. Like you said, you had to break through at some point, right? And, you know, again, guys went up there, kept their focus. Miller works in a walk. Young works a walk. Unfortunately, Yachty gets hit, but, you know, did load the bases. And then O'Neill, you know, and just to that point, you know, it was just good conversation, won't really reveal, but good conversation right before O'Neill's a bat on the bench with a couple guys, like, hey, this is what this guy's going to try to do to you. And if you're so worried about the stuff previous to it, and you're getting your mind escaping to other things, that conversation probably doesn't take place from his teammates or from, you know, and he doesn't probably allow himself. But if it's just, hey, I got a job to do, this is what this guy's going to do to me, I'm going to look for this, I'm going to put my swing on it, and then, you know, big two-run double to get us going.
It's a 4-2 ball game. Now, you got Tyler at second, and you have Yachty at third, and here comes Dylan Carlson.
The pitch to Carlson is hit in the air to right field. This should be deep enough. Backing up the right fielder, Osuna. Tagging and scoring is Molina. On the third is O'Neill. And the Cardinals now trail 4-3.
You got to like that, too. Made a good hard contact and drove in a run, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. I just love the approach. You know, DeYoung did that a couple times in the doubleheader on Friday. And, you know, Dylan, just look, man, I got second and third. And, you know, a lot of times guys are trying to pull the ball, which is fine. You can pull the ball at the ballpark. You can pull the ball like Tyler did down the line. And that's okay if you have the right approach. But pulling it and getting around it and rolling it over to third or short, or if you're a left-hand hitter to first, you know, that's, you know, it's not ideal, clearly. But Dylan, yeah, just stay within himself, not try to do too much. You know, situation calls for trying to get the ball to the outfield, and he did it, and really nice job.
O'Neill went to third on that play, so now it's Harrison Bader with one out. He gets hit by a pitch. Colton Wong next.
And here comes the 3-2 pitch. Bader not going, and there's a hard hit ball. Base hit up the middle, Colton Wong, and the Cardinals have tied it. Wong comes through on 3-2, driving the ball up the middle, and we are tied in Pittsburgh.
Talk about great at-bats, Mike Schild. Colton Wong brings the count full and delivers.
Yes. You know, good at-bats. And Colton, again, just trying to not do too much. You know, he got a full count, and first and third, one out, and you know, he just put a good swing on it, got up the middle, and tied it up for us.
Bader goes to second on that. O'Neill scored. Wong's at first, and they go out to talk about it again on the Pirates mound. And then Tommy Edman at the plate. You needed him at this time of year last year, and in the seventh, Cardinals still batting 4-4 game.
The pitch to Edman. A 2-1 is hit hard left side. That's a base hit. Rounding third, heading home is Bader. The throw to the plate, he's safe. And the Cardinals take the lead. Both runners advance. It's 5-4 St. Louis.
Cardinals have the lead. Now, they'd love to get more, of course, and Paul Goldschmidt walks, but a strikeout to Miller and a flyout for DeYoung, and the Cardinals wrap up that inning with 5, and they turn a no-hitter into a lead, a 5-4 lead over the Pirates. But there is definitely work to do, and Ryan Helsley comes into the game. Here he is in the bottom of the seventh.
And the 2-2 delivery from Ryan Helsley. Molina sets up inside. Here it comes, and it's a called strike three. Gets away from Yachty, and the runner is not running to first base, so he's going to be out at first base. He just did not take off on a ball that got away from Yadier Molina, so Hayes is a strikeout victim.
And the strikeout for Helsley, and he's able to get through. Helsley does with a zero. He gets a ground out, a fly out, he walks a batter, and then a strikeout, Mike Schild. And you know that with your pitching staff depleted, you've had to lean on Helsley in some big moments, and that was another one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he came in, we get the lead. And a part of that, you know, Woody, who gets his first win, Jake Woodford, did a nice job with some damage control. First and third, one out. Comes in, Harrison makes a nice stop and play. They try to hit and run a little bit and makes a nice play and, you know, gives up the one run that he, you know, but after that came back and held him right there and did a nice job. And Helsley did his part, you know, to get the seventh and into the eighth. So really nice job to get that leadoff hitter going back out in the eighth after that zero.
Absolutely. And then in the eighth inning, the Cardinals were able to get themselves with Helsley pitching. He gets that big moment, and the Cardinals are able to finish things off. In the eighth, you had another good performance by Hennessy Cabrera. Here's a little bit of that.
2-2 pitch from Cabrera. Here it comes. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. back-to-back strikeouts by Genesis Cabrera ends the eighth inning.
Boy, he has talent. And in the ninth.
And here's a strike on the inside corner, one down. Stallings is caught looking, leading off the ninth.
Big for the Cardinals. Genesis Cabrera, they stay with him.
5-4 Cardinals, one on, one out. Ninth inning, the pitch. A swing and a ground ball to Wong. Out at second, DeJong to first. Double play and a Redbird winner. 4-6-3, and this ballgame has come to an end.
Boy, his wins are all monstrous, and what a performance by Cabrera. He gets the save, Mike, an inning in two-thirds for Genesis Cabrera and three strikeouts. What'd you think?
Yeah, really sharp. Pitched well the day before in a doubleheader first game, which we had to get in our bullpen a little early, and but it had 3 days off prior to that, and was pretty efficient yesterday or day before yesterday, and then last night allowed him to, you know, Frazier was his last guy, but you know, he worked behind a little bit, got behind Moran to come in the game, but then came right back, got a strikeout, and then, you know, was very effective and made pitches, and stuff's really good. I mean, he's got a real fastball, as you know, but he's got a really dirty breaking ball and threw a filthy changeup to Stallings to get strike two to lead off the ninth. So he's got great stuff, and just continue to be efficient, make quality pitches, and he'll be able to pitch not only more frequently, but a little bit deeper and effectively. He's got great stuff.
KK, the other lefty in this game, started it for you. Went 5 1/3, gave up 4 runs. Now, he hadn't given up hardly anything all year. He ends up giving 4 runs on 6 hits, Mike, but he's given you a whole heck of a lot this year already. He's been through a lot, and it was actually revealed that he's been pitching with a protective lining in his cap. Can you describe what's happening there and with him, I guess, on blood thinners, he's being protected?
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, this guy's compromised physically. A kidney issue without really still having a full knowledge of it medically, but having a peripheral knowledge of it is fairly serious. It's been clearly contained, and everybody's hopeful that, you know, even short term, it's kind of over the pain threshold, but there's still some, you know, it's still a very serious issue, and, you know, he's got to monitor moving forward, and I think they'll have it under control moving forward for his overall health and lifestyle. But, you know, he's on a blood thinner that, you know, you really don't want to get hit, and on a comebacker, it could cause some real damage. And we think we're out of the woods from anything really severe, but, you know, it's a little bit more precautionary, but necessary. He's just, and some pitchers wear them, you know, irrespective of anything like that. They're just the ball, I mean, these guys are big and strong, man. The ball's coming off as hot as it ever has. And so he's got a little bit of lining in his hat to protect if, God forbid, he got hit in the head.
That's good. And the Cardinals win this game 5-4. The win goes to Woodford. Helsley holds the game for Cabrera, who gets the save, and the Cardinals win 5-4. Back to Yachty, who got hit by a pitch that loaded the bases. They got some things rolling for you. I wanted to ask you about him. What do we know about Yadier Molina and that wrist that's been hit multiple times now?
Yeah, you know, it actually dealt him in a little bit different place, which I know is good, but not great. He got hit. I think he's got a great opportunity to be in there today. We're going to continue to evaluate him, but he's feeling better. The great news is no fracture, nothing indicates anything broken. So that's clearly positive. So it just matters to see how much, you know, feel he has in there. But I think he had a good night. We'll see as we move forward in the day if he can get in there, but we're optimistic.
It goes back to when Ryan Braun hit him on the wrist. It was called catcher's interference. The bat hit Yachty's wrist, and a lot happened during that. I know you've talked about this extensively, but not on your show here on Sunday. There was a lot that happened against the Milwaukee Brewers in that 18-3 loss. You sense have rallied as a club. You had to sit out one game, Mike, and what can you tell us right now, or have you put that in the rearview mirror?
That's a rearview mirror. I mean, we'll talk about it, but, you know, I don't dwell on that. I don't even remember it hardly. I mean, I do, but I haven't thought about it, in the last 3 days. So, yeah, I'll be glad to talk about it, but it's not anything I dwell on for sure. Moving on, thinking about the Pirates.
And things certainly get hot. There's no doubt out there on the field. And it's a season where I'll just say this. When I saw it happen, I thought, well, this is why players like Mike Schilt. He's going to stand up. He's going to back his guys. And that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, it's just I mean, irrespective of the game's a little lopsided, but that happens. Not a lot, thankfully. And, but you know, there's games that take place that do that, and so you're not thrilled about that initially. But you know, you can be a professional and manage the game, play the game, and you know, move on. And then you know, it just didn't. It was a bad look. And I've said this, and I really don't care how the people interpret it, but. You know, I don't know that it was intentional. I really don't believe that to be true. It didn't look good with some words being said right before that, you know, a little bit in a professional manner. It was really done well between whatever Braun said to Yachty, and Yachty kind of took a little maybe exception with and said something back. But it was professionally done, and you could tell there was something there if you were watching, but it wasn't, you know, anything was in anybody's face or overly noticeable. It was subtle, which two professionals doing that. But then he gets hit, and it's like, oh, you know, it just doesn't look good. Obviously, I'm not happy we got a player, regardless of what player. But, you know, Yachty's our guy, you know, and you don't mess with our guys. And, yeah, and I don't know that – and I really don't think it was intentional. It just didn't look good. So I'm tending to Yachty and really kind of mind my own business, and I hear something out of the dugout. At that point, hey, man, you know, we can accept a few things, but, you know, I'm not going to sit here and wear it. And especially, again, with our guy Yachty. And, you know, so I heard something and took exception to it. And at that point, all bets are off.
And these teams are tight right now. The Cardinals, the Brewers, and the Reds, they're all fighting for position. There's a lot of intensity out there. A lot on the line, no doubt. And you'll see the Brewers again at the end of this regular season at Busch Stadium. In the meantime, you do have a game against the Pirates today. You have the Kansas City Royals coming up. There's a lot of baseball to be played, but you are right in this race. You're 4.5 behind the Cubs. You're a game clear of the Reds, and you are sitting at 25-24, a game over 500 entering today's 305 game, which we will talk about. We'll talk about a lot about this club. Mike Schilt, the Cardinals manager, is with us. Big first segment there. We really appreciate that, going through what was a wild game yesterday. We'll talk about some of the other games we saw this week and much more about this team. The Cardinals and the Pirates at 305 today. Jack Flaherty is back on the hill. We'll discuss him as well. Mike Schilt, Cardinals manager, Mike Schilt Show. I'm Tom Ackerman. Back after these words.
Now, back to the Mike Schilt Show on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Welcome back. Tom Ackerman with you. What a week Mike Schilt and the Cardinals have had. And the Cardinals fans have been along for the ride here on KMOX. 305 start to get today against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Mike, you had a doubleheader on Monday where you lost the first game 2-1 and won the second game 3-2. But that's just part of the story. I mean, results are important, but my goodness, KK and Daniel Ponce de Leon, 7 innings and 6 innings respectively. That was a welcome sight, wasn't it, on Monday evening in Milwaukee?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, getting some depth out of the starting pitching is critical for a lot of reasons, especially the number of games we're playing, the doubleheaders. And, KK was fantastic, you know, his first start since missing time with, you know, what we've already spoken about from a physical standpoint, was really on point. And then Ponce was threw like he's capable. You know, he was really good in the zone and good breaking ball and, you know, was outstanding to give us a quality six and you know, got the week started off with 3 doubleheaders in 5 days to a positive start, and the series off to a positive start.
The next game, the Brewers won big, and Jack gave up a lot of runs in that game. Just what have you seen from Jack here recently?
Good stuff. Inconsistent with location, just a lot of pitches middle. You know, some days you guys pop them up, roll over them, ground out. Guys didn't miss their pitch, you know, they got. And to their credit, they, you know, but Jack stuff's good, and just too many mistakes over the middle part of the plate that they were able to put swings on.
And we talked about everything that happened on the field with the two teams getting together, and that's in the past, but we got into that last segment. But you came back the next day, and I'm telling you, I don't know how he finds it, but he continues to. Adam Wainwright was absolutely splendid again. Yeah. He goes the distance, Mike, for you, and another big moment for number 50 in his career.
Yeah, huge for him, for us. You know, he's proven again to be an ace in all caps. He went out. It was like a playoff type game in the sense of you had really good pitchers going at each other. Wooder's got good stuff, man. Let's don't kid ourselves. Guy's pitched well and has good stuff. And you know, Waino competed and gave up a two-run homer early, so we're down 2-0. And, you know, that you'd like to think there's not a hangover effect, but it's like, oh, man, you know. But the group came right back, and O'Neill hits a homer, and the offense took a lot of really tough at-bats. You know, Evan with the big hit. O'Neill put the ball in play later. You know, just tough at-bats that allowed us to, you know, earn and get our four runs. And Waino was tremendous from after that homer. It was nailed us for a complete game and gave us a win.
And you lost the second game 6-0, and then the travel to Pittsburgh 5-1. You lose that one. Two things. One, you start wondering, is the offense going to be able to pick it back up? I'm not saying you did, but we're wondering, is the offense going to be able to pick it back up, or are the Cardinals just worn out? I mean, is this just a lot of baseball in a very short amount of time? What will the club show tomorrow? And then you come out and you sweep a doubleheader. 6-5 in the first game, 7-2 in the second game. You score 13 runs in a day. Dolan Memory Care Home's memorable play of the week is coming up here in a second, Mike, but I got to imagine that Dylan Carlson punctuating that with a bomb is one of the candidates for that memorable play of the week. That was some moment for him.
Yeah, it was a good moment for him, good moment for us. You know, we scratched, you know, and we're down in that game too, and a six, you know, put up six. And Dylan, you know, the grand homer to put it up, which was big, because you know, allowed you to do something different in the game. But yeah, it was a big moment. It's not my moment, but you know, and I don't know if you got a recording for my moment, but you know, hey, everybody's got their own memories, and there's a lot of good memories from this week. But that was a big blow by Dylan. Don't want to minimize it, but. It was definitely a big one.
Yeah, we're going to put our producers to the test here and see, because they record a lot of these highlights. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, but let's get to it. And by the way, we did already talk about the 5-4 win on Saturday. Yesterday was just remarkable. I mean, the Cardinals getting no hit, turn it around, win the game 5-4. The Cardinals are very, very difficult to put away. We know that. All these teams have their flaws. But when it comes to toughness and grinding out a game, the Cardinals are up there with the best at it. Mike, the memorable play of the week as we wrap up our show, sponsored by Dolan Memory Care Homes. If you have a loved one with dementia that needs a safe place to live, contact Dolan Memory Care Homes, where they have no more than 11 residents per household. Visit dolancare.com. What do you have for us?
Yeah, I got the double play ball in the second game in extra innings in the ninth. We got a one-run lead. DeYoung gets a base hit to, you know, give us the lead in the ninth, extra innings, that doubleheader game, second game. That good relief work from Alex and Cabrera, and then Webby's in there. And we got first and second and nobody out, clinging to a one-run lead. And he gets a huge double play ball from Urias. And it was just a big league double play turn. You know, DeYoung ranges in the hole a little bit. Everything's got to be on point. Gets rid of it quick. Perfect feed to Colton. And then a really quick, accurate throw turn from Colton to get that double play. And then he strikes out Peterson to end it. But man, that was a huge double play for the timing, and not only the timing, but just the degree of difficulty in a high leverage situation.
Let's take a listen.
The pitch. And there's a ground ball to the shortstop. Throw to second out. On to first base. Out a double play. And it goes 6-4-3 with Sogard, the winning or the tying run now at third base, and the winning run is at the plate and not on the bases.
That was some double play right there, no doubt about it. Boy, those two have great chemistry, don't they? How about when Wong had that scoop, that little toss to DeYoung on another great play? I mean, they just have great chemistry, two terrific fielders.
Yeah, absolutely. They work hard at it. Work hard together at it, and you know, yeah, Colton made a great play to end the seventh in game one. So, yeah, fun stuff, and that was a big play for us that pretty much sealed that win.
We'll talk some more about the club with John Mozeliak, the president of baseball operations, at 11:30. In the meantime, Cardinals manager Mike Shildt, enjoy your day. Good luck today against the Pirates.
Thanks, Tom. Have a blessed day.
You too, sir. Cardinals manager Mike Schilt on the Mike Schilt Show here on KMOX. It's 10:45. We'll take a quick break. We'll check some other sports. We'll take a little whip around. This is a big day today in sports. It was big yesterday. A whole lot of great stuff on the way in the 11 o'clock hour as well. Sports on a Sunday morning. Glad you're with us. What a gorgeous day it is here in St. Louis. Back after this.
From KMOX Sports,
here's the pitch.
Welcome back to Sports on a Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Carlson is trying to add to the Cardinal run total in the sixth. The pitch. He swings and hits a high drive. Deep right field. It's a gunner. Three-run homer. Home run number two for Dylan Carlson.
Look at that swing. I mean, if you watch the replay and you see that sweet swing, it is a thing of beauty. Dylan Carlson with the home run, and he's going to be a good one. Got to be patient here now. I mean, it's going to be a big task to show patience. It really is, because he's a special talent, but it is hard to adjust to big league pitching. I don't care who it is. As you've seen over the last couple of days, Pirates have some that can really throw it. And the Cardinals are going to have to deal with that and much more, and so is Dylan Carlson.
Our conversation was real simple. I said I wanted to come out here and trust myself, and he told me, basically said the same thing, just come out here, have fun, and trust yourself, and go show everyone what you can do. So, it was nice to hear that, definitely.
That's Dylan Carlson talking about the words of encouragement from John Mozeliak, the Cardinals president of baseball operations. He will join us, Mozeliak will, at 11:30 this morning here on KMOX. At 11:05, it'll be Dan Reardon, the KMOX golf editor for many, many years, and we'll be talking about the U.S. Open. It's a tremendous performance that we'll be discussing. Yesterday at Winged Foot, it was Matthew Wolf. He's only 21 years old. It reminds you, I'm not saying he's going to do what Tiger did, but it reminds you when Tiger burst onto the scene, when Jordan Spieth burst onto the scene, these young guys that can really take control of the tour. Now, Spieth has since flattened out a little bit, and we'll see what he ends up doing with his career. But Matthew Wolf is a special talent. He has the lead at the U.S. Open. A 5-under 65 yesterday tied the lowest open round ever at Winged Foot. You know how hard that course is? I mean, you look at those tight fairways and that rough that's deep. The ball just disappears in there. You got to keep the ball in. And he hits a ton off the tee. He had 6 birdies and 1 bogey to get to 5-under in his first ever U.S. Open. He does it on a Saturday. Bryson DeChambeau is alone in second, 2 shots back, bogeyed his final hole, so he settled for a 3-under 67. He had a great round. He came into the round at even par. Louis Oosthuizen, the only other player under par at minus 1. Xander Schauffele, Harris English, Hideki Matsuyama are at even par as we watch the U.S. Open. Dan Reardon will be with us at 11:05. We'll also hear from Ron Jacober, the words from earlier this morning with Brian Kelly about Larry Wilson and Greg Marasek, both of whom passed away this week. We'll hear from Ron Jacober on KMOX at 11:20, John Mozeliak at 11:30, and the Mizzou coach Eli Drinkwitz at 11:45. Let's take a look at the standings right now. So the Cardinals get this win yesterday. It is a huge win for them. A 5-4 win. They come out of nowhere. They're down 4-0, getting no hit. They storm back, score 5 runs in the seventh, and win the game 5-4 on only 3 hits. Look, I do not... Style points don't count. This is about wins right now. And if you win it any way you can win it. On this very radio station, for many years, I hosted a show with Joel Buschbaum. He passed away, it's been 18 years now. But those of you who've listened to this show for a long time know that Joel was a part of it, and we also talked a lot on Sunday evenings. We had a show with him, the former editor of Pro Football Weekly. And he said, you do what you have to do to win the damn game. That was Joel's line all the time in the NFL. Same thing applies here. Do what you have to do to win it, and the Cardinals are finding ways. They've won 3 in a row. And I don't care who it's against. All these games are very, very important, and they've got to get them, and they found a way yesterday. So they're 25-24. They're 4.5 out. They're now in second place all alone. The Reds lost. That's a big, big loss. So you keep them off your back for another day. They're 5.5 back because the Brewers are starting to win. They've won 3 in a row. They're 5.5 back. That's how it stands right now. Now, the top eight teams in the National League make the playoffs this year. That means all the first-place teams, which right now are the Cubs, Braves, and Dodgers, all the second-place teams, which are right now the Cardinals, Marlins, and Padres, all good teams, and then the two teams with the best record still standing. Those teams would be the Phillies and the Reds, barely, at a 491 winning percentage against the Giants, 490. There is a lot still to go. If it ended today, the Cardinals would be the 6, and they would play the 3, the Braves. Much more next on KMOX.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.